Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Spiritual Growth, Discovering the Key to Happiness. For many people, happiness appears to be an elusive concept. In fact, very often we see that more money, a family, or even religious practices don't seem to help people feel better about themselves or their circumstances. But what if there was a way to truly experience happiness every day of our lives? Today, on the Natural Health 365 podcast, I'll introduce you to a very special guest who has dedicated his life to helping others expand their awareness through the practice of meditation. With sound and chanting, this deeply spiritual practice of meditation is the foundation for successfully achieving balance in our thoughts and our feelings. I'll admit, I've had my fair share of craziness and imbalance in my life, but without a doubt, my daily meditation practice is one of the best things I do every day to maintain optimal health. So let's explore the true meaning of meditation. The connection between our breath and brain function, and an amazing discussion about chakras and microchakras, plus much more. Before we meet our guests, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, please join me in welcoming Shyamji Bhatnagar to our show. Shyamji, welcome.
Thank you.
What is meditation exactly, Shyamji? For a lot of people, especially are new to this concept, they kind of know that it's something maybe they ought to do, but they've maybe tried and it's difficult. And please speak about the benefits as well.
Meditation, actually, if we go to the root of the word, which is in Latin, it's called meditare, which really means to think. Now, I know there are some schools of meditation that are propagating to stop thinking. And my objection to that is that you don't tell your eyes not to see or your mind to think. It is their dharma. It is their duty to think and to see. Meditation, in fact, is a process of refining your thinking. You're refining your experience of life, refining the elements that we are made up of. There are five different elements that are dominant all the time, and through our breath, we keep on experiencing life in various stages and in various emotional responses. Same thing we respond to differently when we are breathing a different element given at any given time. So meditation primarily is to keep on refining your process of thinking. For example, in the beginning we start to think that I am this body. Okay, we call this first chakra mind, which thinks that I am this body. Second chakra mind thinks that I am this gender. And the third chakra mind thinks that I am a teacher. And a fourth chakra mind thinks that I am a Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, Jew, whatever. So these are the various different identities that we go through. And meditation is a process to separate yourself from all these identities that we lay upon our psyche. And meditation is basically taking a distance from that which you are not. For example, the subject I thinks that I am this body, which means that the body is an object to me. I am the subject, body is an object. That's why I call it my body. So in meditation, you start to say, I am not this body. I am not this gender. I am not this teacher. These are my social roles. That's what psychology is teaching us. Man is sum total of his social roles. Well, if all these are social roles, then who am I? So the subject of meditation is to experience your true identity.
And Shyamji, what a refreshing breath of fresh air that is, what you just said. The idea that, you know, we should have no mind. And again, I'm saying all of this with a great deal of respect for any of the disciplines out there. But I just love what you just said. This idea of teaching people that the whole goal of meditation, or to, you know, somehow be living a quote unquote spiritual life, is to have a open mind or no mind, and when you're meditating, there should be no thinking, gives people the feeling that there's something wrong with thinking at all. And I think you've made it very clear. There may be nothing wrong with thinking, but perhaps the way you're thinking about things is making your life more or less difficult. That's probably a very fair thing to say, no?
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit more, Shyamji, about this connection between our breath and the brain.
Okay. Now, let's go to the word spiritual growth. What does the word spirit come from? Where does it come from? Again, let's go back to the root. In Latin, there is a word called spiritus, which means breath. Now, anyone who says that I do spiritual work and they have no idea about secrets of breath. You know, breath, there's a yoga in India called Swar Yoga, S-V-A-R. Most people misspell it by S-W-A-R. However, in Swar Yoga, you discover that you don't always breathe predominantly with one nostril, and with both nostrils. If they shift, you start out with the right, an hour later you are breathing with the left. And then within the hour, there are five different elements that our nostrils are so intelligent to draw from the prana, from the air, from the oxygen. Oxygen is just one element in the breath. I mean, there are probably many, many more known and unknown factors in the air that we maybe don't know yet. I mean, the science doesn't know yet. However, the rate of breathing is directly related with the state of mind. For example, if you are taking a nice little stroll in a forest, and all of a sudden you see a bear coming towards you, well, naturally you run. And when you run, you breathe with your mouth. And that is interpreted by the brain, fight or flight. Okay, which means that the brain doesn't really know the difference between right and wrong and false and true. It only reacts to the circumstances. In this case, when you are breathing with your mouth, your brain is interpreting that there is a danger. And therefore, I ask people, when you talk, when you sit for meditation, try to breathe in with your nose. Your nose takes in pure prana, your mouth does not. Simple reason, mouth does not have any hair. At least the last time I checked my mouth. Anyhow, when the rate of breathing starts to slow down as you relax, you begin to take a distance from everything that you possess. May it be your body, may it be your gender, may it be your occupation, and so on. In Swar Yoga, it is mentioned that when your average rate of breathing becomes 4 breaths per minute, you are entering into the state of refined thinking called meditation. So the word spirit and meditation, they go together.
And Shyamji, obviously another thing for people to understand is so many people want to be more successful in their life, you know, whether it is more money in their life, more financial security, a better relationship, improved health because of where they are right now is causing them so much suffering. We get it. But, you know, so often we overlook some of the most important, simple things like what you're talking about right now. The whole idea of breath, breathing properly. And from what I get from what you're saying, if the breath isn't right, and I've learned this in my own background helping athletes to perform at a high level, it is their desire, but if their breathing isn't right, if they're tense in their breathing, if they're rapid pace, if they don't have the understanding that they can slow their breath down, then how on earth are they going to expect to be able to think more clearly and to perform at a better level for whatever it is they're looking to do, right?
Yes. You see, what happens is that we start to identify ourselves with our performance. And if you really look at it, in America particularly, we are victims of abundance. We do not know how much to consume. So we consume and we become gluttonous. It is not only true of in terms of food, also in terms of information. So much of information is available, people get confused as to what to do. You see, or what is right and what is not right anymore. So it is time to really honor our anatomy. And the most important part of the anatomy to honor is the respect and regard for our pineal gland, the only gland in the body that is light sensitive. This is the gland that wakes up the body even 2 hours before the appearance of the sun. The pineal gland senses the light coming, which causes the body to toss and turn because it is time and the pressure is building up so that a bowel movement can take place earlier in the day, probably before the sunrise, so that your system is in a state of purity. Without the purity, you see, Jonathan, 135 or 36 years ago, there was no electricity. We didn't watch Saturday Night Live at midnight. We went to sleep early, and naturally we woke up early. When we woke up early, we, you know, did some things here and there, and we felt the peristalsis. This is what is happening to every infant around the planet. They have a bowel movement approximately 2 hours before the sunrise or close to it, depending again on the genes of the baby as well. Because if the parents were constipated, there may be some difference in their bowel rhythm. So in the chakra system, if you look at my book, Micro Chakras, it will tell you what is the rhythm of the chakras. Every chakra has a rhythm. Every chakra creates a mind that acknowledges that rhythm. So the more we conform to it, the healthier we feel, happier we feel. Simple performance, simple accumulation of billions of dollars, simple having lots of friends and fame, that is not a source of real joy. That will make you happy temporarily. But we should really work on joy. Joy is a kind of a permanent state. Your body can be ill. Your body can be sick. It's like I have some students who went through surgery. They say, oh, my knee is hurting, but I am fine. There's a difference between the knee and I. They are in touch with their subject, I. And that is the subject of meditation.
And I love what you're saying about paying greater respect for who we really are and getting more in touch with the rhythms. So many people I meet, Shyamji, all the time, you hear it in their voice, you see it in their body language. Sure, they want to have better things in their life, but like you say, they're up at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night with the artificial white light of mobile devices, iPads, cell phones, computers, and I mean, God forbid, but the 11 o'clock news and all of this craziness and fear that they propagate on the news, how on earth is someone going to rest well, regenerate their body, and then feel like getting up at 5, 6 a.m., which is what I love to do every morning.
Just good for
seems,
you.
It just seems so natural. What you described is as if you know what I'm doing every single morning. It feels so right to just simply get up for whatever it's worth. It's not to go run a marathon, all of these things. It's just to get up, to get moving, and to get started with my day. What a great way. And that cliche, you know, early to bed, early to rise, and we know the rest, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's so true.
It is.
I'm looking forward, Shyamji. We're going to be talking now about religious experiences and spiritual experiences. What's the difference? We're going to get into a few other things, too, about why you feel mankind actually created religion, which I think is going to be a really important thing to pay close attention to. But before we get there, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. So as I just mentioned, Shyamji, I think probably a really interesting thing to hear from you would be to have you explain what exactly is the difference between a religious experience and a spiritual experience.
Religious experience is based on faith. And when you believe in something, you see, if you look at the microchakra psychology, you will realize that in the heart chakra, called the fourth chakra, in Sanskrit, the word is Anahat chakra, Anahat, A-N-A-H-A-T, which means unstruck. There is a sound that is unstruck that people hear called nada when your psyche tunes into the heart chakra mind. But the heart chakra mind in itself has one faculty, one habit, which is to fall in love unconditionally, whether it is a person, it is a philosophy, it is a psychology, it is an object. Unconditional love is all what the heart chakra mind knows. Now, know that we have seven different minds created by seven different chakras. One of them is the heart chakra mind. So people, when they start to have a faith, you see, there are two ways to have a faith. You experience something repeatedly, 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 then it becomes a faith. The other one is that you hear something repeatedly, 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 and you start to believe. So one is an externally caused belief system in which the heart chakra mind falls in love with, and the other is your own experience, which happens because when you are refining your thinking and your rate of breathing goes down and down and down and down, repeated experiences, then your mind is expanded and you have a spiritual experience. Now, if it is imposed from the outside, that is a religious experience, although the experience comes from within, but it is caused by outside. And when you work with your breath and you work with a sound to slow down your rate of breathing, slow down your thought process, and refine your thought process, then you have a spiritual experience, which is your own. In that, if you have a faith, to me, that is genuine. To me, religions only promise you, you see, we have an animal brain. An animal brain is very selfish. Religions teach you how to be nice, how to be kind, thou shalt not do this, that, and so on. So it makes you a better human being. But then after you are a better human being, how are you going to go to the fifth chakra mind? For that, you will need a teacher who has experienced due to the practice, constant reminder of practice. And at this stage, I have devised a system between 7 and 10 minutes in the morning. It's a time-bound system. It works around the sunrise. 10 minutes is all you need, and all day long you reap the benefit, day after day after day. There is no Sunday. Every day you meditate just once a day for 10 minutes. And I call that system inner tuning. It is not outer tuning. You see, faith caused by external forces is outer tuning. Faith caused by your own experience is inner tuning. And that's what I teach.
And just so I can jump ahead, because I certainly, and again, I say this with all due respect, there are a lot of people that are extremely religious. I have all the respect in the world for all of you out there. Please don't bombard our customer service with all kinds of emails that somehow we are anti-religion. Certainly, I don't feel Shamji is that way. I don't feel that I am that way at all. I think the bottom line is what we're trying to communicate here is to have your own experience. And Shamji, I'm sure you would agree, some of the most traditional religions throughout the world, wherever they are, they incorporate things that they encourage each and every individual to do, which incorporates the sounds and certain syllables and words and really teaching very deep meaning behind words and having people appreciate how important it is that they understand to a much greater degree than perhaps they ever did before they got more involved in a particular religion, the meaning of words, the meaning of their thoughts, the meaning of their speech, and to be more mindful, to be more aware. I think that's what this is all about. And if so many more people were to do that and to do it with respect and to do it with love for one another, what a different world we would have, no?
Absolutely. Religions bring you to the level of your heart chakra mind. I am grateful to the religions for that. But after you have opened up your heart chakra, then is the time to work on yourself. Because religions are practiced in groups, whereas spiritual development takes place alone, by yourself.
So Shamji, you know, obviously, perhaps for some people, they might feel like this is a delicate question, but I'd just like to ask you, why do you feel that mankind created religions?
Mankind created religion because the leaders of the religions, they were highly sensitive human beings who practiced their own spiritual practices that caused them to have an extraordinary experience, and they wanted other people to tune into it. My statement that I often make is that we are all born equal, but we are not all the same. There are different people with different level of intelligence, different levels of sensitivity, and all these religious leaders, they have been extraordinarily sensitive people, both sensitive to their refinement of thinking and refinement of their sound awareness. That's why they created some sounds that help other people to at least come up to the heart chakra level. You see, the first chakra mind is very selfish. It's me, me, me. Second chakra mind considers me and you. Third chakra mind is the thinking mind, the rational mind, that tries to create a balance between me and you and the society in general. Heart chakra mind is unconditional love. And that's where the contribution of the religions is. And it was a wonderful thing that the religions did, which is to train our animal brain to become civilized. But once it is civilized, you have to keep on going forward.
I would like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Shamji, I know that you give meditation concerts in many countries. Talk to us about how these sounds and chanting that you share with people, how that has such a positive effect on us.
Well, you see, the sound is probably one element that can go through just about every cell of the body. You know, the sound doesn't go through the earth, the water, the fire, the air, but it goes through every cell of the body. And when the sounds are made properly, which I consider properly, when you have practiced something for 65 years like I have, 68 now, then the sound carries an element called Akasha, Surya Akasha. It's called like golden ether. And that is such an extraordinary experience people have. They don't have to know what that Akasha is, but because it affects every cell of the body, it slows down listeners' breathing, and all of a sudden, a higher chakra mind takes over. And they have such a deep, peaceful experience that they just come back over and over. My first concert in Bogota was 679 people. 200 people had to go back because the hall could not hold anymore. And I was virtually unknown in that country. And this is really amazing. I'm going there again in January. I also do concerts in America and in Europe. They're usually advertised in my website. And people just love it. And then some of them, they want to learn to chant themselves. And I take pleasure in teaching them. And it's just a wonderful experience.
Shyamji, maybe, you know, you've mentioned chakras many different times. You've also mentioned a couple times micro chakras. A lot of people are brand new to this information. Can you just for a couple minutes, please explain what the meaning is behind these words?
Okay. You see, chakras are, first of all, in the subtle body, the feeling body. You know, the physical body does not have any feelings. Physical body responds to in neural response. I have an itch, I scratch, it's gone. It's a sensation. It's not a feeling. The feeling body is where we get our thoughts from, and the processor of that thought is our right brain and the heart chakra. Okay, so now when we breathe less breaths per minute, we start to get more energy from the chakras. Chakras are perfect, actually, like the sun is perfect. But you have to expose your body to the sun to get the benefit. Similarly, we have to expose our micro chakras to the chakras. Micro chakras are the channels that bring in the light from the chakras. You see, every chakra has a specific hue. We primarily are a light, which means that all seven rays we can absorb by eating the color of the day, doing the sound of the day, wearing the color of the day, respecting the gems that are different color of the day. You have beans and fruits and vegetables of different colors. All of it adds up to the realization that we are a light caught this time around in this physical body.
Shyamji, I know you're all over the world. You travel quite a bit. It took us many months to get together to do this program together, you and I. If someone wanted to actually meet you, experience some of this, where do you teach?
I teach in Manhattan, 227 East 24th Street, in a yoga center called The Reflections. And I will teach a course starting in every Wednesday. I am in Manhattan every Wednesday, whenever I'm in the country. I'm leaving now in January for 3 months. I'm going to South America, then Europe, then India. And then I'll come back in the beginning of April, and then our courses begin. And this course is going to be very interesting because it's as basic as possible and advanced as possible because I'm going to teach people how to make a chart of their own micro chakras. Because now you see, I'm 80 years old. I don't know how long I'm going to make charts for other people. Eventually, I have to teach people how to make their own chart. And this is going to be a very experiential course. It will last the whole year, actually, starting in April, about 10 weeks, and then in September, October, November, part of it, and then in December, part of it. Hopefully, by the end of the year, people will learn how to make the chart of their own micro chakras. Because if the micro chakras are open, you get the light from the chakras. It's amazing. The secret of even the names of the days of the week, every day is after a planet, because that planetary energy is available to us that day. For example, if it's a Monday, it's the day of the moon. If it's a Tuesday, it's the day of the Mars. If it's a Wednesday, it's the day of Mercury. If it's a Thursday, it's the day of Jupiter. If it's a Friday, it's the day of Venus. And every one of them, Saturday, day of Saturn. Then, of course, the king, the Sunday, day of the sun, the cause of the light for us. So when you work and live life consciously, mindfully, then you utilize these things that add up to the realization and a spiritual lifestyle that is most suitable for your own type, in which you also learn about the type of the body you live in. For example, whether you are kapha-dominated, this is Ayurvedic terms, or pitta-dominated or vata-dominated, all those differences I try to explain in my classes. I combine everything. I teach people what directions to sleep, which posture is best for you to sleep. So people start to feel healthier in their three bodies, physical body, body of the feelings, and the bodies of the thoughts. We are a combination of three bodies that we possess.
Shyamji, fantastic information. I hope that this encourages you out there to definitely look into incorporating some form of meditation into your life. Obviously, being more mindful about our thoughts, the way we feel, and how we interact with each other. You know, for me, it's been a constant life-changing experience. So I appreciate it, and I definitely appreciate your time today. Shyamji, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Glad to do it.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.